But I thought, in honor of
Micah
Parsons, we would rank our top five pain in the butt players in the NFC East now that he's gone.
Micah.
He would have unequivocally made this list. Would he have been one? Would he have been two? Up for debate, but he would have been very high on these lists. Now, if you're a real one, and you've been around this show for a long time, you're familiar with this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
This is an exercise that we've done annually, right before the football season, just about every single year.
Yep.
And this was the segment that brought us the Jeremy Maclin charade.
Sure did.
Because, in fairness, I don't know why Jeremy Maclin ever should have made the top five, unless the NFC East was on some lean years.
Well, here's how it came up. I was trying to go outside the box a little bit. And I went back to the year before and looked at a couple of the game logs, and I go, oh, this is going to be spicy. Completely forgot, of course, he didn't play for Philadelphia anymore. I was on Pro Football Reference looking at last year's roster. It was a major move in the offseason, and I was scrambling, trying to go somebody that, you know, to spark some conversation that was different. And I made a glaring mistake and was made to look foolish. Because
did he bounce?
Shut up, Danny. This, not now, buddy. I'm trying to explain what happened.
This was 2015. This has been 10 years.
Yeah, and it will live on forever.
There are people that still name their fantasy football teams in our league, did he bounce? There are people that still bring this up routinely at events. I mean, it is quite literally one of the most memorable, recognizable, epic, celebrated? Can I call it that?
I don't it's not a celebration.
I think a lot of us are celebrating.
Yeah.
You're certainly not celebrating.
No, it is a joke at my expense, certainly. So in that sense, it's a celebration. It's an oft-referenced
It's a beloved foible. Moment in show history.
Yeah. Because it's what you'll listen for here is the certainty. Listen to how confident I was. That's, I think, what does it.
87 catches in his first year in Kansas City, 85 catches his final year in Philly. So at that time, he was a good player. But we were talking about players in the division.
Yeah.
That were a pain to deal with, which is the subject at hand. So we figured we would go through our top fives, and then we would open up the phones for you guys next so that you could tell us who is the number one player in the NFC East that you hate having to play. The guy that if you could just do the Men in Black thing, where you take that little light, that little, what do we call
the
that?
The mind eraser.
Contraption.
Yeah.
You hold it right in front of one of the owner's faces, and you freeze them, and you go, you're going to pull a Jerry Jones and trade, name that player. Who would you tell them to get rid of? So let's go through our top five players that we hate dealing with in the NFC East. Danny, you get us started. We'll go 5-1.
Kayvon Thibodeau, not good against anyone else. Is that hyperbolic, Danny? No, it's not. As a football player for the New York Giants, he is 3-1-1 against Washington. He has well over 5 sacks against Washington in 6 games. And he doesn't have more than 2 or 3 against anybody else. He has dominated Washington. He has been effective against Washington. They're waiting for the breakout. All they have to do is play Washington. Like his long brother, former teammate and brother, Daniel Jones, who only played well against Washington and one other team that won like 2 games, he makes his whole career against my local 53.
Number 5 on my list is going to be one of the best receivers in the National Football League, C.D. Lamb. I think dealing with him might be less a fearful exercise this year because the corner room is improved and the secondary should be better. But in his career against Washington, I've seen him catch 54 balls for 515 yards and 5 touchdowns in 9 games. Doesn't sound like he chews them up necessarily, but some quick math tells you that he averages 60 yards per game, despite having had a couple of donuts in there. He's had some monster games against Washington, and I just think it's an overall talent nomination here. This is someone who, based on the fact that they're going to target him a dozen times, is probably going to go out there when you play the Cowboys and catch 7 or 8 balls for close to 100 yards, and he might score a touchdown. And there have been years where Washington just didn't have anybody who can run with him, didn't have anybody that can play with him. I hope Marshawn Lattimore is up to the challenge. They're paying him as a number one corner after acquiring him for draft picks to shut guys like C.D. Lamb down. Number 5 on my list, players in the division that I don't like dealing with, C.D. Lamb.
Number 4 for old Randy Duhier is Quinyon Mitchell. They got something there pretty special in Philadelphia. So as all the turnover is happening in, for the Eagles, and that's understandable. You win a Super Bowl. People need to get paid. You got kind of the next crop developing. They got a badass in that guy. You saw how effective he was in that first Philadelphia game last year. It was just him and Terry McLaurin, and McLaurin wasn't open a whole heck of a lot. And, you know, I think it was one target until deep into the game. And even then, it just not much effectiveness from 17 against Mitchell. They can do that. He's really, really, really good, and he's going to be a pain in the butt for years.
A.J. Brown, number four on my list. He probably should be higher, by the way. In six career games against Washington, he has 560 yards and six touchdowns. Notably, a 13-catch, 175-yard, two-touchdown game where he made it very clear Emmanuel Forbes was not it. There's another game in the same season, oh, by the way, when he single-handedly took Washington's lunch in 2023, where he went 8 for 130 and two scores. How about that season? Two games, 17 catches, 300 yards, and four touchdowns. Decent days at the office. His worst game as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles against the Commanders has been a one-catch, seven-yard performance where he didn't finish the ballgame. Otherwise, 8 for 97, 5 for 65, 8 for 130, 9 for 175, 5 for 85. He's got touchdowns in four of his six career games against the Commanders. This is a Washington killer. Probably should be higher on my list, but I'm going back-to-back receivers to start. A.J. Brown, number four.
Number three for old Rainey Duya. You've already mentioned him. That's C.D. Lamb. I think we're underselling it, if anything. His second most yards, second most touchdowns against anybody. This is a first-round top five fantasy pick. Playing against Washington, he has done very, very well. Giants, by the way, have it worse off than we do, certainly. But he has been wildly effective. 54 catches, 515 yards, five touchdowns, his most touchdowns against Washington, more so than anybody else in his career. He is a problem, and anything that happens in their offense for them goes through him. So if anybody else has an inch of forward progress, it's because Washington had to do something special just to slow CeeDee Lamb down that play. That'll be a theme in my rankings here.
I think number three is going to be a little bit of a hipster answer for me as we rank the players in the division that we worry about the most. This guy has statistically not really done anything against Washington in four career games now. But Jalen Carter of the Eagles is a gigantic pain in the tuchus. Do you remember the play on fourth down in Philly last year? We were there with Kondorian and Murad, club level, enjoying ourselves at the link. Washington had marched down the field late third quarter. They were giving the Eagles all they could handle on national TV. And they elected, instead of kicking to take a lead, might have even been early fourth quarter, to go for a fourth down. It was right after John Bates somehow didn't pick up a first down when he was like past the stick, and then he ran backwards to make sure that he didn't get the first down, and then it was like fourth and inches. Jalen Carter blew up that play so easily and obviously. It was like he had driven 85 miles an hour in a passenger van through Washington's offensive front to ruin this unbelievable best fourth down team in league history's chances at advancing the football. He has three or four plays like that in every game. So when you look at the numbers through four contests, you're going to see six tackles, eight assists, no sacks, and you're going to go, you can't put him that high. Every time you play the Eagles, I think for 3 hours before that matchup, every Sunday morning, about how do I make sure Jalen Carter doesn't kill me? How do I make sure that he's constantly chipped and doubled and getting ear-holed by somebody next to him? He's number three on my list.
Number two for me. I will let you know when Washington has covered this person. I've never seen it. In two games. Most yards against anybody else, 19 catches, 186 yards. Should have been 20 catches for what would have beaten Washington in week number two last year. That's Malik Nabers. I'll let you know when there's an answer for him. I don't think they have it. I don't think, with all due respect to Marshawn Lattimore, hopefully looking healthier. I like Trey Amos an awful lot. That dude is unbelievable, and that dude is a problem.
So I didn't have him on my list, which is shocking probably.
You're a Nabers guy.
You know how much of a mark I am? But I did not have him crack my top five because I went heavy with D linemen high on this list. I think that's somewhat reflective of some of the interior offensive line issues we've had around these parts with the Commanders over the years. I think they're getting there to a point where that's not going to be a problem anymore. Coleman may end up making a Pro Bowl at guard, hopefully. Biotish, very stellar at center. And then Cosme, when he's back healthy, is terrific at right guard. But Danny, number two on my list of players I hate dealing with, I think he's the most underrated player in the NFL defensively. Dexter Lawrence of the New York Giants. Dexter Lawrence is a game wrecker. If you go back to their playoff win over the Vikes a couple years ago when Daniel Jones went ham sandwich against Minnesota, Lawrence quite literally blew that game into smithereens for the Vikings. I think they had like five incompletions all game from Kirk O'Chains, but they're off the field on third downs with him coming downhill. The fourth down where they threw short of the sticks and everyone killed Cousins, Lawrence blows up the play. He is unblockable in isolation one-on-one. If you go into a game and you go, hey, Pro Bowl guard, take care of Dexter Lawrence, you will lose that game. He's that good. The only guy I think better than him in the entire league at his position might be Chris Jones. Maybe. I'm not even convinced of that. But Dexter Lawrence petrifies me. I stay up in the middle of the night worrying about what he's going to do. He's number two on my list of players in the East that I don't like dealing with.
Number one, you mentioned it. As you said, probably should be higher on your list. Well, he's number one on mine. That's A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has destroyed Washington. Most catches and most yards and most touchdowns against anybody else, with the exception of Houston, who he played a whole lot more when he was with Tennessee still. Again, more time in Tennessee than he was in Washington, only six games. But his second most touchdowns against anybody else, second most yards, second most catches, and that includes a game that you already mentioned where he only had one catch for 7 yards and then didn't finish it or whatever. Everything that happens to me is because they can't deal with that dude. I think he's incredible. Devontae Smith is very good. Dallas Goedert's good. The guy that I'm sure is number one on your list is very good too. But this is the person that they have no answer for. Last year it was, let's try Emmanuel Forbes, let's try Noah I, let's try St. Juice, let's try seven different people. They couldn't stop him when Kenny Pickett was throwing to him. So you have to cover that so the other guys underneath are open. That includes some of the running games. To me, A.J. Brown, they have not had an answer yet.
So we have the same number one then?
No, that was my number one.
Mine too? Of course I'm kidding. Saquon Barkley is the answer. I was thinking about going Darius Slayton here. I thought about Jahan Dotson, but I think I'm going to lean into Saquon Barkley.
Good bit by you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. He single-handedly destroyed the Commanders three times. Fourth quarter of game one, first quarter of game two. Over those two quarters of football, he ran for 200 yards. And then the playoff game, first play from scrimmage. Do you remember the entire week? All we're talking about leading up to that game.
How do they slow him down? How do they stop him?
Hey, this time they got a plan. They played him twice. Commit everything you have to stopping Saquon Barkley. If you do that and make Jalen Hurts beat you, maybe, just maybe, you've got a chance. His first play of the game was a 60-yard major tutty. His first play of the game was that awesome mascot that I love who's grown on me so much that Danny doesn't get steamed up for.
Correct.
Saquon Barkley. I don't need to say any more than this. He was the best player in the league last year. Now, I'm going to be loud wrong on this if it doesn't happen. I think he's going to play about half the season this year. I don't think that workload is sustainable. This is like Patrick Corbin in 2019. You're going to pay for it for a little while stuff. But if he plays against Washington, I got no answers for him.
Yeah, they wrote him to the Super Bowl. To me, the reason he didn't make my list at all was I've seen Washington do well against him. In other words, when they decided in that second game, okay, not you, you're not beating us. I think he had like 30 yards on 15 or 16 carries after the dedicated resources. But Kenny Pickett carved their butts up. And, you know, A.J. Brown lit him up and Devontae Smith lit him up. They only won that game because Devontae Smith dropped the pass, one of the most sure-handed receivers in the league. Barkley's killed them. I mean, you look at his career totals against Washington, it's comical, laughable, even at times.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I'm talking specifically about him last year as an Eagle and basically playing behind the best offensive line in the league. But if you look at his numbers, to Danny's point, with the New York Giants, it's the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see how many games this is.
11 games.
11 games. 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. That's just the rushing, by the way. He's also had monster performances as a receiver as well. He's had receiving games of 73 and 90 on the ledger. But as a rusher, he has run for 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns, and he's still got six games to spare. He might run for 2,000 in 17 games.
Easily his most games, attempts, yards, touchdowns, both in terms of rushing and receiving against anybody else, Washington number one.
All right, so quick recap. This is the top five players I don't like dealing with in the division. Five, CeeDee Lamb. Four, A.J. Brown. Three, Jalen Carter. Two, Dexter Lawrence. One, Saquon Barkley.
Five, Kayvon Thibodeau. Four, Quinyon Mitchell. Three, CeeDee Lamb. Two, Malik Nabers. And one, A.J. Brown.
One Cowboy, one Giant, three Eagles for me is the breakdown.
I got two Giants, two Eagles, and one Cowboy.